this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you for a new year. I bless our faith this morning, which is precious in your sight. I pray, Father, just the work of your spirit. We embrace the work of your spirit. All things are possible to him who believes. And I just thank you. You enlarge our faith this morning. You help us to be aware of your presence and you speak into us. Lord God, you are dropping new life into our hearts. You have new things for us, Lord God. You're creating new capacity and faith and vision, Lord God. I bless this moment and we look to you. We thank you for your great love. And we bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Grab a seat. Great to see you. Especially you, Luke. Love you, mate. He's a good friend of mine. He worked for me as well. Actually, no, we worked together for another guy. If you don't know Luke, that's Linda's great son. Catch up with him after. Praise God. Yes, 2026. And look at that. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. It's wonderful. Really, really true. God is doing new things. It's not old and boring. It's doing new things all the time. And we all like new things, don't we? Hopefully you got some new things for Christmas. Yeah. We had a birthday recently. Mia had a birthday. She got some new stuff. We like new stuff. I got a new shirt on. No. I've worn it twice. I could wrap this up as a present and give it to someone. Wouldn't be as good, would it? It'd be sort of look weird if you didn't get new things. It'd be awkward. Here's my old shirt. I'm giving it to you. Although I don't mind secondhand things. But, we like new stuff. And sometimes we can take it a little bit far in our quest for new things. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. Yes. So we go, we want to go after him. We don't want to go the way of the world and just go after new jet skis and stuff and have more stuff and new looks and whatever else. God is into new things. You go after him, you'll find he's always new. Got something new and new things will just arrive for you. But he is into new things. And one day he's going to come back and he's new. And he's going to do a new heaven and a new earth. And it just reminds me of Pastor Ian McCormack, who was here, the jellyfish guy. Got stung by a heap of jellyfish, died, had this crazy experience. But he went to heaven and he said he saw the new earth, which just blows your mind. But God is doing new things for us this year. It's always an adventure in Christ. There's something new to discover in him. And then there's a ministry and a mission that he has, which is full of new people and new experiences and him in them. And so here in Isaiah 43, verse 19, he says, see, I am doing a new thing. And I want to pick this up in verse 14. Because I think it's important just to get a little bit of what is going on here. And it says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. So this is Isaiah. So this is actually several hundred years before they were in exile. And God is interesting. He always prophesies something and then later on it happens. And so this is just a glimpse of a prophetic moment where the Israelites are taken off into captivity into Babylon because essentially they got into idol worship. And so this is well before that happens. And here God makes reference to it and he says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. And if you know your Bible, that is a direct reference to coming, the Exodus out of Egypt with Moses, and also a season of a new covenant that God made with those people, the Ten Commandments, And what happened there when he did all those power moves, which are incredible. And he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. This is infused with hope. This is infused with God's plan. This is infused with a new covenant that God makes here with people. And he's speaking about Jesus Christ. He's speaking about what God is going to do when he makes a way, a new way, a streams in the wasteland, a way in the wilderness. And so let's just back it up and just, I want to ask and just say, who is speaking here? Because he calls himself the Lord. And when he says the Lord, we always think, well, yeah, the Lord, of course. Or you might have whatever thoughts you might have about what that looks like. And maybe he's your Lord. Maybe he isn't your Lord. But who is speaking? Well, it's God speaking. And God is pretty smart. I'm not sure if you thought about that. He's pretty smart. He's actually been around for a while. And he knows a few things. He sort of knows his stuff and he knows all about you. In Acts 17, it says, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples and human hands can't serve his needs, for he's got no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. So he knew all your history. He knows all your future, and he's totally trustworthy. And I love what it says here. It says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer, your Redeemer. He brings it close and near and personal, your Redeemer. The Holy One of Israel, the Holy One, your Redeemer, the Holy One. It means, the Holy means like he's new all the time and that he is able to be what we need him to be. He's not what you want him to be. He is what we need him to be and he is who he is. And he identifies as Lord and Lord is that he is your Redeemer, your Redeemer. It means he has the ability, because he's holy, to pay the price for you. There is a price. And the problem, as J. John would say on many occasions in his podcast, is that the heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart. That it has rejected God, has rejected him and it's pushed him away. And because of sin, because of this rejection, it demands a payment, and that payment is death. After this death, you know, living this life, there's going to die. There's going to be another one. And so he is holy. So he actually has the ability to be your redeemer and pay that price. If someone is to redeem something, they have to be wealthy. They have to have the capacity to redeem, to buy back, to purchase. And there is no one else, because we're all in that same boat of sin. We all have rejected God at some point. And so he is who we need him to be. It's his business. It's what he does. It's what he wants. And it's what we need. And in Christ, he became the next of kin, the person who is able to pay the price for our redemption. And Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And this sin has to be dealt with. So number one thing there is that he is your Redeemer, the Holy One. He's going to pay the price. He's going to do it. He calls himself that. He is your Redeemer. And then he says again, I am the Lord, your Holy One. So he says it again, which means that he's perfect, that he's holy, and what he says is what is. Look, God is brand new all the time. Brand new. He's the latest upgrade, latest model. He's never going to get old. He's not old. We get old. I just turned 50. Look in the mirror and I'm like, what the heck happened there? On the inside, I don't feel 50 because God is brand new all the time. Like, he's always brand new. It's great when you get something brand new. It's nice. It's all fresh. I got a brand new car a bit over a year ago. Now that smell has worn off. God always smells new. He's always fresh. He doesn't need fixing. There's nothing ever going to break down in him. This is who he is. That's why he says he's holy. because he's whole and he's brand new all the time. That's why he's just so good. And he says, Israel's creator. And this is who we walk with. This is who we walk into 2026 with, is someone that's a redeemer who's holy, is able to do all that stuff. He's brand new all the time. And he's super creative, like next level creative. And he'll be creative for you, for whatever your dreams are. You want to get better at what you're doing, just get nearer to him because he's got better ideas than what you have. He makes things out of nothing. He calls things that aren't as though they are. He's Israel's creator. He's the creator. He took Abraham, who was a nobody, and created a whole nation so that these people would know him and make him known. And when they didn't do that, Jesus came and Jesus did that. He's also the king, which means that he has all authority. He has all love. He will protect your life. He will give you protection. He will bring peace. He will provide for you. And he owns us. Rather be owned by him than owned by sin, or owned by him, or owned, like, what are the options? You're going to own yourself? You can't own yourself. Anyone who sins is a slave to that world of sin. Just keep it real. It's what it is. And the devil has his way in there. So much rather have a king who has all authority and love. And this is who is speaking, this person who is the Lord, our Redeemer, our Holy One, the Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. And he says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a weed. Forget those things. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Do not ponder and sit in what I have done before, or that old covenant that I made of laws and regulations. Don't go back there. The problem is people try and sweep things under the carpet. This is not about just forgetting that. This is a full shift, a repentance, a coming around to God. Being owning your stuff and saying, all right, I'm sorry. This is a shift, a turnaround. I don't need to turn around. Or let me tell you, you might need to turn around. You might need to own some things before God and just say, sorry. And then go his way. This is a repentance. This is a shift. This is a move. This is coming up to God. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Don't look back to when the good old days or life in, you know, the miracles were just for when Jesus was there or with the disciples because they walked with him, or making up some sort of reasoning of why it can't happen. All things are possible to him who believes. That's what Jesus said. And so we don't go back or look back. I like reading Smith, and he says, never look back if you want the power of God in your life. You will find out that in the measure you have allowed yourself to look back, you have missed that which God had for you. Had for you. You're looking back, you're going to miss out on what God had for you. Unrepentant, you're going to miss out on what God had for you. And something that God did in a previous generation where he displayed his power, he wants to do it in relationship in this year with you, so that you experience his power, so that you know him. Because we don't live by faith on what someone else experienced. We live by faith on what he is doing in us. And so we learn from what God did back then, but we turn and we move forward into what he's doing now in relationship with him, staying with him. So the first thing here in this that I want to sort of point out, and the foundation for us, is that God has made a new covenant agreement. And whenever God makes a new covenant agreement, it's always about friendship and him being involved and his love and what he is doing. And it's a great privilege and it's a great honor, and it's full of his love, it's full of his grace. And he says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. That way in the wilderness can be translated to mean anyone who's not Jewish. The Jewish people had God, and he's like, let's just spread it right out to any heart that's wild, that doesn't accept him, that's hard, that's not receiving him. Let's pour out on those hearts, on those people, in that time, in now. I am making a way, not many ways. Like if I drive out on the road there, I am going to go in a certain direction, and it is never, ever going to take me to Rome. Not once will you drive out there. All roads don't lead to Rome. There's not many ways. There's a way. There's one way, and Jesus is that one way. And there's great evidence for that in his death and the covenant agreement that he made and his resurrection. And so when Jesus sat with his disciples in the Last Supper, he gave them two symbols, and we did this morning, the bread representing his body and the wine representing his blood. And we read in Luke's gospel, and he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and he gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." The old covenant agreement, someone's, you know, animals sacrifice and all that sort of stuff to atone for sin. Jesus has done this once for all time so that you can have a new heart. So you can get right into the heart of the matter and deal with sin in the heart. The new covenant agreement. This is the basic foundation, and builders just don't go back and redo the foundations. They don't dig them up again. We just stand on this foundation of Christ, what he's done, and Christ in us. And as Hudson shared last week, therefore anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come. The new you, the improved you, the better you. Not at all. No. Because once you were dead and now you're alive. It's not an improvement. It's not a renovation. It's a whole new person. It's a whole new being that God wants to put with him in your spirit and make your spirit come alive. And salvation isn't self-improvement or the divine leg up. It's recreation, a whole new beginning and continuation. Now, God is new all the time. He's just always brand new. And you connect yourself to him, you're going to find you're going to be renewed in your heart all the time. Yeah. All the time. And there'll be life and energy coming to you. And it's so important that you connect with him and get life in you and keep going in that. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "That's why we never give up, though our bodies are dying. Our spirits are being renewed every day." Got to enjoy it while you're young. You sort of have this season while you're young. He's 50 and he's like, what? Throw those boots away. Terrible. I had to throw the rugby boots away. I'm still hanging on to my soccer boots. A lot of old men hang on to their soccer boots. You just don't hurt yourself as much. Rugby is so much tougher in those rucks and malls. You're being renewed every day. That's great news for you this morning. Yes. God is always new, and he wants to be new in you so that you'll be new. And all the older people are smiling. Younger people have no idea what we're talking about. But in him is newness and new hope and new dreams and new direction. A new energy, a new life, and everything that's new is in him. Why not? Why not give him a go? So what do? The first thing is we accept the terms of his agreement by believing in Jesus and being born again. So that's where it starts. Let's start with a new you. Let's have a new foundation. Receive this new life, this transformed heart, and then walk it out after that. So the second thing is to embrace this relationship with God and just get into it, a committed relationship, living out our identity as a child of God, not being flippant or casual or too Australian. I would say, yeah, maybe I'll get there. I don't know if I'm... Get into it. Get into God. He is into you and he wants to have relationship with you. And so start this year being renewed by the God who's always new, and then look forward because he has good things to you. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." And I love this scripture, and I love what he says about, "See, I'm doing a new thing." Now it springs up. There's got to be some sort of spring inside of you. Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, and Tigger doesn't walk. He just springs into everything. I'm not talking about some sort of crazy Christianity where you're just wildly eyed. But no, there's got to be a sense of, yeah, let's get into that. You know, the Holy Spirit is particularly encouraging. It's like, yeah, let's get into that. Let's go out to Lake Gajeligo. Yeah, give them some money. That'll be great. Yeah, let's go to Bali. Let's go and build a playground. I mean, I'll always get excited when someone says the word playground, but let's get into that. Let's get into what God is doing. Let's let it spring up inside us and get in to what the Lord is doing. And we don't, you know, make it happen in our own strength. We just walk with God and let him walk it out in us and through us. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? All things are possible to him who believes. Do you see it? Jesus said, bless your eyes because they see. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Can I have the band come up, please? So remember who the Lord is. He is God, your Redeemer, the Holy One. He's holy, which means he's perfect all the time. He is the Creator, super creative, and he is the King, a good King, a loving King. Leave whatever was last year or turn from whatever you've got to turn from. He's doing a new thing. Forget the former things. He's doing a new thing. He wants to do it in you. Years ago, I went on a hike in southwestern Tasmania, which at the time I had really no idea about. And it was me and my friend and then my second cousin and two of his friends. And they were older than us and experienced hikers. And so, yeah, we'll go on this hike. Me and my mate, we'll go on this hike. Yeah, no worries. And I found out sort of, this is a grade 10 track, whatever that means, on a hike. If you've ever been on a hike, it's not the easy one. So, but I'm fit and I'm fine. I'm like, fine, whatever. And so I get the boots and we've got the packs. And it was so funny because him and I just, my friend and I, Jeff, who was in this church for many years, we'd just come to Christ and we were carrying a Bible everywhere. When you go on a hike, you shrink everything. Everything's shrunk down. And so we're packing our stuff together and I'm like, oh, we've got to take a Bible. And we have this Good News Bible. It's about this big. And I'm like, well, it'll fit in your pack. So we're like a day in and he has to pull this thing out. And it comes out and the three guys could not stop laughing at us carrying this because it's all packs and all heavy and walking and grade 10. And so we start out, it's real good, you know, we're walking along boardwalks and stuff. And then we start to get off the boardwalks into the track. And the track gets washed out and it's just like this rut. And I don't know if you've ever walked for kilometres in a rut. It's like tough. It's mentally challenging. You've got to focus on every step so you don't roll your ankle. And at the start, I'm just jumping around. And I noticed that they just trudged straight through whatever. It was mud, water, whatever. They just went straight through it. I sort of took the high road and went up and around. And after like 10 hours and not really caring about my boots being clean anymore, we're just like trudging. It was like hard going. And we walked all day and we walked for 30 kilometres. And I have never walked that far, ever. And I tell you what, you can sleep on anything when you walk 30 kilometres with a pack. Just ask Hudson. So we walk in and the next day we sort of get up and we saw blisters. It was an incredible place, like amazing mountains and the trees are incredible. And you just go over to the river and you just dip your cup in and you just get a drink of cold, amazing water and just hiking away. And then like incredible views and mountains and we're just tracking. And then the second day, we're a bit tired and we're just following them. We're just trudging along and we get lost. And I don't know that we're lost. And my mate doesn't know we're lost, but they know that we're lost. And fortunately, they're there because we just would have, I don't know, got lost. We got lost and we're walking through this mud and walking through these. And I'm trying to jump from one bush to another bush because we're in a swamp. And then one of them goes, hang on a minute, this is not the track. This is not the track. And I'm like, well, I don't know. You guys, and they've got, this is before iPhones and apps and all that sort of stuff. And so they got some GPSs and things. And they're like, oh man, it is going to rain. And this is a beautiful sunny day, wildflowers, incredible scenery. And so we walk back to the river that we'd come from. And I was very happy about that, because Amanda, we've got to sit down and just get a nice cold drink of water again and fill up our drink bottles. And I really wanted to walk to this mountain. We're walking to this place called Federation Peak, which is this massive mountain, and you walk up it and it's incredible, all this stuff. But then the weather turned, so we decided to, you know, take a couple of days to get out, but the weather got so bad we just walked out. And my mate's feet were like, they swole so big he couldn't even fit his shoes on, and blisters, and just incredible lesson. But you know, things can start out pretty rosy in your walk with God. And this year, you know, maybe you, if you've walked off track, well, I'm telling you, there's a river and a stream of the Holy Spirit and God's Word that will refresh you, that will cause you to dream, that will cause you to walk in the will of God for your life, that will cause you to rise up and believe God and have a sense of, yes, God has a plan and a purpose, and I'm going to walk in that this year. But you just got to come to the river, a place of refreshing. You come to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will work on the Word of God that you put in there, and He will refresh you. And He is refreshing you today, and He has a plan for you this year. It's got new hope in it. It's got new dreams in it. It's got plenty of new adventures and people. It's got more love in it, because He is in your future, and He wants to leave those things behind, because He's already waiting up. He's already up ahead. He's like, yes, come, let's do this. And He loves you. He knows that you're here today. Come on, let's stand and pray. Father, we just thank You that You are new all the time, that You know what You're doing. You're the Lord. You know why You're doing it, and you have so many good things in front of us this year, and we just simply come to You. We don't want to get too far ahead. We definitely don't want to look back, but we look to You, and we thank You that You are good and You are faithful. We thank You for Your faithfulness, Your goodness, Lord God, and we're excited about You. We're excited for what You're doing here today. We're excited for what You're doing next week. We're excited for our team to go to Lake Jeligo. We're excited, Father God, for life in You, Lord. We just thank You for life and life abundantly, Lord God. And where we've been a bit dry, we just thank You, Lord, that there's new opportunity, there's new grace, there's great mercy and love beyond what we can imagine or understand. Father God, we thank You, Your mercy is new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. And we commit ourselves to You today to know You and to make You known. Hallelujah, here in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to hand it back to Chris, but if you'd love me to pray for you, I'd love to pray for you. If you'd like prayer, we've got us encouraging people this morning. Maybe you need a touch of His freshness on your life. Love to pray for you this morning. But God bless you for 2026. It's been a good start.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
There is power in the name, Jesus.